just focusing on the words of this lesson. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God is the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. You believe that you are sustained by everything but God in this world. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, and an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure a body identification. All these things are songs of praise to the ego, the separated self. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. The love of God within you will lift you out of every trial and raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of the Son of God. Don't put your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people. It will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. It's eternal, it's changeless, and forever unfailing. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. You can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sure confidence through the love of God within you. Tell yourself this often today. It's a declaration of release from the belief in idols. It is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. I am sustained by the love of God. Let this idea, I am sustained by the love of God, sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat, I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize its truth and allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts, don't let any idle or foolish thoughts enter to disturb your holy mind. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the resting place where your Father has placed you forever. I am sustained by the love of God. So we're going to be on page 343. Let me set this up because this is a powerful section. This section is called The Choice for Completion. Mm-hmm. in the course of some of the choice for love, it's only talking about love or fear. And this section is going to use a lot of Christian terminology, this last part. And so what I've always told people, especially for the last 25 years of sharing it, is that it's only talking about love and it's only talking about fear. And so I'm going to do the unthinkable. I'm going to read this paragraph. I'm going to read from paragraph 10 to the end of the section. It takes about, I think, about 10 minutes maybe. If you go unconscious, that's okay. This is a section that will have that effect. And if you're following along in the book, it'll be a little bit easier to stay conscious. But if you're listening, it's a good chance you're going to go unconscious on it. And also, I'm not going to read where it says you. I'm going to say, I'm going to talk about it in the third person. I'm going to say like a person. Because I find a lot of times that saying you brings up the resistance in people. Even though it's talking about them, but still, you may not be at that point yet that you're willing to see that connection. So I'm going to read it in a way like we're talking about somebody else. Okay? Say, if a person perceived the special relationship as a triumph over God, would they want it? Let's not think of the special relationship's fearful nature, nor of the guilt that the special relationship must entail, nor of the sadness and the loneliness. For fear, guilt, sadness, and loneliness, these are only attributes of the whole religion of separation and of the total context in which separation is thought to occur. The central thing in the special relationship's litany to sacrifice is that God must die so that a person can live. It is this theme of love must die that is really acted out in the special relationship. Through the death of yourself, a person thinks that they can attack another self, snatch the other self from the other to replace the self that they despise. They despise the self that they're trying to give away because they do not think that self offers the specialness that they demand. So hating the self that doesn't give the specialness that they want, they have made that self little and unworthy because they are afraid of it. How can a person grant unlimited power to what they think they have attacked? So fearful has the truth become to many people that unless the truth is weak and little and unworthy of value, people wouldn't even dare look upon the truth. Some people think it's safer to endow the little self they made with the power they wrested from the truth, triumphing over the truth and leaving the truth helpless. See how exactly this leaving the truth helpless, this ritual is enacted in the special relationship. In the special relationship, an altar is erected in between two separate people, on which each seeks to kill himself and on his body raise another self to take its power from his death. Over and over this ritual is enacted, and this ritual of sacrificing the self is never completed, nor ever will be completed. The ritual of completion, which is the special relationship, cannot complete, because life arises not from death, nor heaven from hell. Whenever any form of special relationship tempts a person to seek for love in ritual, remember, love is content and not ritual or form of any kind. The special relationship is really a ritual of form, aimed at raising the form to take the place of God at the expense of content. There is no meaning in the form of a special relationship, and there never will be. The special relationship must be recognized for what it is, a senseless ritual in which strength is extracted from the death of God and invested in God's killer as the sign that form has triumphed over content and that love has lost its meaning. Would you want this love losing its meaning to be possible, even apart from its evident impossibility? If it were possible for love to lose its meaning, you would have made yourself helpless. God is not angry. God merely could not let love being replaced happen. You cannot change love's mind. No rituals that you have set up in which the dance of death delights you can bring death to the eternal. Nor can your chosen substitute the special relationship for the wholeness of God have any influence at all upon the wholeness of God. See in the special relationship nothing more than a meaningless attempt to raise other gods before God, and by worshiping other gods to obscure their tameness and God's greatness. In the name of your completion, you do not want to raise other gods before God. For every idol or god that you raise to place before God stands before you in place of what you are. Salvation, which is healing, lies in the simple fact that illusions are not fearful because illusions are not true. Illusions but seem to be fearful to the extent to which you fail to recognize illusions for what illusions are. And you will fail to do this, recognize illusions for what illusions are. Illusions but seem to be fearful to the extent to which you fail to recognize illusions for what illusions are. And you will fail to recognize illusions for what illusions are to the extent to which you want illusions to be true. And to the same extent that you want what's not true to be true, you are denying truth and so are failing to make the simple choice between truth and illusion, God and fantasy. Remember this, and you will have no difficulty in perceiving the decision as just what the decision is and nothing more. The core of the separation illusion lies simply in the fantasy of the destruction of the real meaning of love. And unless love's real meaning is restored to you, you cannot know yourself who share love's meaning. Separation is only the decision not to know yourself. This whole thought system of separation that we live in is a carefully contrived learning experience designed to lead away from truth and into fantasy. Yet for every learning that would hurt you, God offers you correction and complete escape from all its consequences. So the decision whether or not to listen to this course, the decision whether or not to listen to this course and follow this course is but the choice between truth and illusion. For here is truth separated from illusion and not confused with illusion at all. How simple does this choice for truth become when the choice for truth is perceived as only what it is? For only fantasies make confusion in choosing possible, and fantasies or illusions are totally unreal. This year is thus the time to make the easiest decision that ever confronted you, and also the only decision that has ever confronted you. You will cross the bridge into reality simply because you will recognize that God, or love, real love, is on the other side. Nothing at all is here on the fear side. It's impossible not to make the natural decision for love as this is realized. Everybody got that? Okay, so let's go back. This section, like I said, I've been sharing the course for since 1980. And this section, this whole section, is the section that is probably the most misperceived section, or the section that brings up the most resistance a lot of times. Anything that it says about special relationships sometimes brings up resistance. So let's go back. It says, like in paragraph 10, it says, if you saw the special relationship as a triumph over God, would you want it? If you really saw, now when it talks about special relationship in this context, it's talking about a fearful relationship. A fearful relationship is any relationship in which you do not have peace in. That's how the Course defines it. You know, any relationship, so it's not just a romantic relationship, it's a relationship with anything that you don't have peace with. And God is another name for love. So it's saying simply what that if you really perceive a special relationship as, or a fearful relationship as a triumph over love, would you want it? And he says that when we're in a separate, is that when we're, he calls our addiction to being separate from each other as a religion. I think it's interesting. He says the religion of separation. He says now in the religion of separation, you can tell when you have a religious separation because you feel fear in the relationship, or you feel guilt in the relationship, or you feel sadness in the relationship, or you feel loneliness in the relationship. And he says that, you know, that is the special relationship. It's a relationship where there's guilt, sadness, and loneliness. And would you really want that over love? So he says the central theme is that what we have in our relationships, he calls it a litany of the sacrifice, is that most people think of a relationship as something that they're constantly giving up what they want in to make somebody else happy. That we look at love as sacrifice. If I love you, I'm going to give up what I want, and I'm going to sacrifice what I want for you. And so the Course says the central theme is that God must die, or love must die, so that the person can live. He said that's what's acted out in a special relationship, is that a person who feels like they're not complete sees a person who they think can complete them, and then they believe if they give away the self that they are, that they don't really completely love, and snatch this other self and get this other self that they value, then that's what happens in the average special relationship. And then he goes on to say, you despise yourself because you don't think that you are getting the specialness that you deserve. So I'm going to form the special relationship in order to get the specialness that I think I deserve and the specialness that I think I want. Is everybody with me on that? That most people form relationships to get specialness. You know, and it's not, and again, it's not, I can see how it's not just with a person. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to get a lot of money. For what? Specialness. You know, I want to get that promotion. For what? Ultimately, specialness. It's like it's about specialness. So the Court says that the person despises the self that they're trying to give away because they don't think it offers the specialness that they demand. But we don't realize that in not loving the self that you are, which the Course uses an extreme term like hating it, he says you're making yourself little and unworthy because you are afraid of yourself. So really, littleness comes from being afraid of yourself. The Course is saying feeling unworthy is just a form of being afraid of yourself. So a person who feels unworthy is really a person who's afraid of themselves. Any questions about that paragraph? Any comments?
No, I was just thinking that I was looking back in the book somewhere, it was talking about as well, it goes with that of in any relationship that you come into, never try to get anything of value from that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good rule of thumb for me to remember which way I'm choosing.
Me too.
When I'm in
me
relationships
too.
Now, it's beginning for me to start to go, well, am I having something of value, or am I just here to love and see the spirit in them?
That's right. That's exactly right. Because the minute that I form a relationship with anything and anybody that I'm trying to get any form of value out of, then I'm really taking my power away. Because the minute that my value comes from you, if anything happens to you or anything happens to that relationship, then I'm back into to despising myself and feel like I had a sense of loss. It's like he says. He says, if you're so willing to sacrifice who you are, then obviously it must not be something you really love. Because if you were a you that you loved, you wouldn't be so quick to sacrifice you. And it talks about how, you know, you wouldn't want to enter a relationship that you couldn't be in. And I thought that was an interesting way to put it. Most people enter into relationships, they have to leave themselves out. You know, let's take it to a mundane level. I really like to go bowling, but you don't. So you tell me that I couldn't be in a relationship with you as long as I continued to bowl. Okay? So I've got to leave what I like out at me, which is the bowler.
Yeah.
You know, I got to leave him outside of the relationship in order to have a relationship. Now, I like to use mundane examples because sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. Where people enter relationships and what they like and who they are really can't enter the relationship. And it's the other person's fantasy that the person wants to enter the relationship, and vice versa. I have this ideal of what I think you should be. That's who I want you to be. And if whoever you are that's not that, don't you bring it into this relationship. So don't enter relationships where you can't enter. Okay? Anybody else? What about that thought that he says, a person is trying to snatch the self of another person in order to replace the self that they despise. And then he says the reason they despise themselves is because that self doesn't give it the specialness, that person the specialness that they demand. And then when you hate yourself, that is how you make yourself little. And that is how you make yourself unworthy. And he says because you are afraid of yourself. See, I didn't know that started with fear of the self. I thought it started with me feeling like I really wanted specialness and maybe I could think maybe I wasn't as worthy, but I didn't realize what's really going on is that I'm afraid of myself.
What do you mean by afraid of yourself?
Being afraid of myself means somehow or another I think I am losing or I am going to lose by being who I am. Who I am is not enough. Who I am will not bring me what it is I want. You know, who I am might attack. Who I am might be fearful. Who I am is something that might hurt me. It looks like I've hurt myself a lot in my life. And I haven't allowed myself to have the recognition and the love I deserve. So a part of me is afraid of myself. The Course says fear is nothing but another word for loss or losing. So whenever I feel fear, I'm feeling a sense of loss. So when I hear the term fear, I always immediately go, okay, if I'm afraid of myself, then it also means I think I'm going to somehow lose by being myself. Which dovetails back to I am not enough. The basic ego premise. Okay.
And is it also, like the original fear that we're unconscious of, is that terrible, horrible fear because we're going to be punished because we think we've separated from God.
Which is the core fear.
And the core fear.
That's the core fear.
Even this, all of the, I mean, a lot of this for me, well, that core fear still is unconscious for me. But even that whole fear of self is still so unconscious.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. That's what I've often said to many of my friends over the years of sharing the Course, that I could have, there's a lot of things easier to facilitate and teach than the Course in Miracles. I would say 90% of anything it's easier to teach than the Course in Miracles, because the Course in Miracles is always pointing out unconscious, subconscious beliefs that people don't know about that's creating their reality, where the other books are always talking about more conscious things about creating their reality. Like the average person will say they really want to visualize and create a bigger home, a bigger car, a better relationship, losing 10 pounds. You don't know how to get anybody who won't agree with the idea of their thoughts being used to create that. But when you go, well, if that's true that your thoughts create that, then it's also true that your thoughts create everything, even the stuff you don't like. Then here comes the resistance. No, I'm not creating that. That's their fault. You see what I'm saying? So I'm the creator of the good stuff, and I'm even willing to admit I might be the creator of the cool stuff. But with the minute you tell me I'm the creator of the stuff I don't like, then I get resistance, because the ego is the part that projects blames and attacks. And then the Course takes it a level deeper than that and says, the real issue is your relationship with God. Your relationship with your creator is the relationship that's being acted out in all your relationships. That the core fear is you think you're separate from love, which is another word for God. And since most people think specialness is love, then they think, oh, no, I'm not. I love a lot of people. In the book terms, I said, no. You feel special with a lot of people. You don't love a lot of people. You feel special with a lot of people. And then ego gets mad again. What you mean? I know I love. No. Love does not deal with specifics. Love is universal. Love is impartial. Love goes everywhere equally. Love never attacks. Love doesn't do bargains. Love is, you know, and so when you start getting the definitions of love,
love doesn't need.
I'm not ever getting with somebody because I need anything, but I will join with you to share, but I won't join with you to get. So when people really hear what love is, then the next thing the ego says is, well, that's impossible. You know, I'll never be able to love everybody. And then the Course says later on in the book, well, why don't you practice what love is with the people that you're in a special relationship? Start with the people you have the special relationship with. Love them unconditionally. Don't try to get from them. Share with them who they are. Acknowledge who they are. Free them. Support them. Then, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm not asking you to do it with everybody, because you can't meet everybody at the level of the body. But what about the ones you have? Then all of a sudden, the people realize they're in a lot of relationships with people that they don't even want to love. And that freaks them out. So they'll find that their desire for specialness is greater than their desire for love. Their desire to control is greater than their desire to free. Their desire to limit is greater than their desire to release. And then that's when they put the book down and no longer come to any more Course classes. And some of you know what I'm talking about, who've been here for a year or two. How many people have you seen come through my classes in the last year? I always joke about that. If all the people who come to my classes showed up at the same time, you couldn't even get anybody in here. You know. And the point that I'm making is that this is a very deep, profound teaching. It shakes you to your very core. But that's what I like about it. That's what I love about it. And so the next paragraph, it says the same thing again. It says, okay, if you're afraid of yourself and you're despising yourself and you're trying to give it away so that you can get somebody who can give you value, he says, well, how can you grant unlimited power to what you think you've attacked? He says that in most cases, the truth has become so frightening to people that they won't even look at it unless it's weak and little. And then he goes on to say, we think it's safer to endow the little self that we have made with the power that we wrested from the truth, which is a fancy way of saying, I'd much rather be right than happy. I would much rather have this little self, Earl, and his perceptions to be truer than what the truth is telling me right now. He says, see how this ritual, I like this, he says, see how this ritual is enacted in a special relationship. He says, what's really happening is, and we're talking about fearful people, we're talking about minds who do not know what love really is and who've forgotten. It's not a condemnation. So it's saying, so when I look at it like this, when two regular people come together, even though that they don't know it, they're really seeking to sacrifice themselves, which the Course calls kills themselves, and then on his body raise another self to take the place. Because I'm sacrificing myself, but through you I'm going to get a self to replace the self that I'm sacrificing. Because I'm getting my value through you. I'm getting my value through how much money I have. I'm getting my value through the car I drive. I'm sacrificing myself, but I'm getting my value through the other thing that I'm accepting instead of myself. And so the Course says that over and over this ritual is complete. It's not enacted. I found somebody else. Uh-oh, wait a minute. That didn't work out. Oh, I'm going to go get somebody else. Uh-oh, that didn't work out. Uh-oh, one of these days I'm going to find my soulmate. Now, everybody's your soulmate. There is no such thing as a soulmate in the way that we think about soulmates. That's another big illusion. It's really a very idealized concept of the same thing. I'm going to find this person, and in this person, I'm going to find my completion. But every like right now, I'm sitting in this moment. I'm sitting in a room with my soulmates. Everything that this book is teaching, you present me with an opportunity to practice it right here, right now, with you. You see what I mean? And in every situation I go in for the rest of the day, it's going to be there. It's going to be another opportunity for me to see you as holy children of God, see you as innocent, see you as powerful, see you as loving, and to free you to be who you are in connection with your higher self. That's what every opportunity is. But the part of me that doesn't feel worthy, the part of me that needs specialness, now it walks in the room and it's going to single somebody out. Okay, loving all of y'all is one thing, but my specialist needs somebody in particular. Mm-hmm. And you know who I'm going to choose subconsciously? Whoever it is that reminds me of the past. It's going to be, you ever notice that people always say there's a pattern in their relationships, that even though the name starts out different, it ends up it's the same person they were with before. And they don't realize that that's because the minute you single someone out, you can only do that based on your past learnings and your past experiences. So you got to, so you're pretty much guaranteeing that you're attracted to the same kind of person you were attracted to before. But again, it's not conscious, it's subconscious. It's subconscious. So when the Course introduced me to that whole idea that of my unconscious beliefs, that's when I began to get the power out of it. This is still my relationship with God. God isn't giving me the specialness that I want, so you're going to give me the specialness that I want. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? God isn't taking care of me, so guess what? You're going to take care of me. You see what I mean? It's like everything we really should be wanting from our Creator. He says what we want it in things outside of ourselves. Very simple premise. So it says,
And all of that's just religion and too, part of the ego's thought system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love how it always fails. Like you said, it always fails. There's a part of the book that, there's a part of the book that he compares our ego relationships with a spinning top. Uh-huh. And he talks about, like, yeah, at the beginning it'd be spinning like a mother. Then it goes. You remember the little spinning tops? Mm-hmm. And then it go plop. And that's what they always start out. And you know, because it's not based on anything real. It's a temporary spin. And that's where we go. It's like a car when you say, let's take a spin. You know what I'm saying? It's like our relationships are, if it's not based on the truth, it's just taking a spin. And I personally am tired of taking spins. And the minute I made the decision that I wanted what was real, I was shocked at how many people left my life without me asking anybody to leave. It was amazing to watch how many people left my life without me attacking them. You know, and it took me a while to get that, you know, the once you choose for peace, you're literally on another level of vibration and consciousness. And people who have not made that choice literally are not attracted to you. People who are still attracted to fear are not attracted to someone that's chosen for love. Mm-hmm. People who need to control are not attracted to people who demand their freedom. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, first you feel kind of lonely sometimes, or like there's been some kind of loss, because let's face it, there are more people that are still choosing for the illusion than there are people who have consciously started to choose for the truth.
And when you start taking care of yourself and you want your freedom, then they think you're being selfish.
Right, right. And that's the best manipulative word out there. Which is code name for you're not letting me control you.
Yeah. You won't do what I want.
Yeah, that's, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You won't do what I want you to do, so that makes you selfish. Even though it's obvious that I call it the three stooges. What we got? Projection, blame, and attack. That's the ego. Those are the three stooges.
You want to play yourself.
Yeah, if you want to play the ego game, then you have to project, you have to blame, and you have to attack. If you want to play the fear game, you predict it's your fault. If you change, I'd be happy.
Right.
That's blaming you. And I'm mad and I'm arguing with you, and that is attack. And I can also do that with myself. I can project on myself, blame myself, and attack myself. I can also run that same game on me as I can run. Because my ego is the part of my mind that believes in separation. So even the part of my own mind that believes in separation attacks me, blames me, and projects on me. And the part of my mind that believes in separation blames you, attacks you, and projects on you. And the Course teaches me that that's not me. Mm-hmm. That's a thought system that I've learned. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Can you help me with, I'm at the baby steps of being able to look at my close relationships and attempt as best I can, and it's already made huge changes to simply... remember that they are one with me, that this is my brother, this is my sister, and we are spirit, and that the other things I'm seeing are either my projection or their call for help.
Right.
And what, either way, I'm just trying to see past and simply love them, because that's the only way I can help them anyway. It's not for me to do. It says that throughout here, step aside. Mm-hmm. That's what empathy is.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Holy Spirit do that. But how that applies in the practical of my life, my illusion, my story, of responsibility to others.
In what sense?
How does what we're talking about, for example, in special relationship,
mm-hmm.
and how we enter into it and the sacrifice of self and all of that,
mm-hmm.
what does that look like, the choosing God, choosing love, choosing spirit, in being responsible to people in your life, whether it's financial responsibility to people in your life or responsibility to do the things that they may want of you?
Those two things are not necessarily opposite in my perception. Rule number one is do what gives you the most peace and is most true to yourself. What I found with people is that there is not necessarily any kind of one concrete behavior that you can use in any situation that's going to work in every situation. That's why I can't give an answer in terms of behavior. But the Course gives answers in terms of perception. So it would be, what is your purpose? What is it for? Like, for instance, you know, if a baby's playing with a pair of scissors, and no matter how much they like that pair of scissors, you know, you're going to take the scissors out of their hand, no matter how much they scream, because you know they could hurt themselves. Well, that's the same thing's going to happen to you in your physical life with other people. You're going to do what you know is best. They may or may not like it. So if you look at the answer in terms of what can I say to people in every situation or do in every situation that the other person is going to react to me in terms of peace or love, there is nothing that I can tell you that's going to guarantee you that every time that you practice the truth as you know it, that the other person is going to react that way.
I can't have anything to do with what their reaction is.
Okay, the same thing about that's why I was trying to get clear what you meant when you said about taking care of your responsibility.
No, I want to make sure I understand my part correctly, and I guess that's where I'm just going to have to trust that Jesus...
But you got it, you got it. Everything you said at first was exactly your part. I mean, that was it. If you just stuck to exactly what you told me at the very beginning about sin is a call for love, realizing that they're spirit, and then do whatever you must do at a physical level from that perception,
okay.
Yeah. boom, you got it. That's what, in a sense, that's what makes the that's what makes the course so hard, but makes the course so easy at the same time. Is that there is just one attitude and one approach to take to every situation that comes up, because what you're going to always meet is your content, and he talks about that later. You know, it's like if you're coming from love, then no matter what you do, it's not the wrong thing. If you truly coming from love.
And that's where I just have to make sure I'm truly being honest with myself, not letting my ego fake me out.
Right.
And if I sit there and ask for guidance, it will come.
Exactly. That's what I mean when I say being authentic. It's for yourself. Because, you know, it's like, all I know is when I first started in the course, I was having all of the issues coming up that I was hearing, that I hear everybody talk about now, in terms of the challenges in their relationships with their relatives or their mate, or their friendships, or their finances, or their whatever it was they were talking about. And all I did was say the things the course said say, even if I didn't necessarily believe in what you said I didn't in the very first place, and even if I didn't necessarily emotionally feel like I was sincere. And all I know is, over a period of time, all those things started to harmonize themselves in my life as if by magic on their own, as well as my perception. And I've seen that to be true with every student that I've worked with over years. And there are two types of students that come to the course. One are the analyzers. Okay, they never get through analyzing it, but they don't actually apply it, because they're not going to apply it until they think they understand it. Yeah. So therefore, they don't ever apply it.
Yeah.
And then they get disillusioned and they go away. And then there are the other ones who would just apply it, even though they don't necessarily believe it or necessarily understand it. But they just go ahead and start saying, okay, I'm determined to see this differently, and doggone it, you're a call for love. I mean, you're a freaking call for love. And it's like, and I will watch those people start to have all kinds of breakthroughs in their experience. And so that's why I really, really support that when I come to my classes. That's why I always emphasize the thing about, you don't have to believe the ideas. Just apply the ideas. Because it's the application, it will show you that it's true. So at the beginning, it'll look like you're applying it, and it looks like nothing's happening sometimes. But if you keep on doing it, then you'll gradually see that there'll be a change in your perception. And the funniest thing about your perception changing is that it looks like everything else does then. It's unbelievable. So when you said how you had chosen to handle it, all I can say to you is, that's it. That's absolutely 100% totally it, you know. Like that thing about not sacrificing. Like some people say, you know, I hate to go visit my mother, and you're saying I shouldn't go visit my mother because it's a sacrifice. I said, well, either change your perception of visiting your mother, or as soon as you can, you know, without guilt, you might need to choose not to see your mother, because the truth is you're not sharing love with your mother. You're going over your mother's house sharing fear with your mother and attack with your mother. Just because your body is setting up there and you season with resentment, that's really what you're sharing. You know, but if your guilt is so great about not visiting your mother, then it would be visiting your mother. Then I would suggest visiting your mother. Because the name of the game is, I want to do what's going to bring me the least amount of guilt and fear. And if I feel less guilt visiting than I do not visiting, while learning how to let go of the idea of sacrificing guilt, then I'm going to work with myself.
And maybe practice.
Yeah.
Use your mother as that perfect place for a lesson of loving.
She's an opportunity for you to practice the truth. She's another opportunity for you to practice seeing the call for love. She's another opportunity for you to actualize everything that you're seeing. That's the way you would look at it if you didn't want to feel like you were making a sacrifice when you were going to visit her. It would be like, okay, this is another opportunity. Or you could simply do the other thing too, like the course says, appreciate the good efforts, overlook the mistakes. If you really took a moment, you could remember something about your mother that you were grateful for, if you really wanted to. That's why I always go back to motivation. It's like, if a person's motivated, they can do this. If you're not motivated, then there's nothing that I could say or this book could say is going to work. Some people, you know when they walk in the door, that they don't want to forgive. And so every time you say anything about forgiving, they'll be the first ones to defend against and tell you all the reasons why they're justified in not forgiving. Well, what are you coming to a forgiveness class for if you don't want to learn how to forgive?
So now what real forgiveness is. This version of forgiveness
is not overlooking what you think somebody really has done to you. This version of forgiveness, of course, says it's correct perception, which is correct interpretation. Let me look at this differently. Like you said, that was a call for love. That was a call for help. That was an act of an insane mind. That was somebody who didn't know what they were doing. You know, there's so many ways you can look at it to ease your anger if you wanted to. And I always go back to if a person wants to. If you want to. See, I want to.
I think those, the relationships that I had the biggest uncomfortable feelings about are the biggest ones that I think is the most healing to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I didn't want to visit my mother, if I get a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have that now.
Check it out. That's what I'm saying. All I know is all the people that I used to have challenges with simply are not in my life, or our relationships have changed, or I don't lose my peace at all when I'm in their presence. And as far as I'm concerned, that's it. You won. If I can be around you in peace, or you can relate to me in peace, or for whatever reason we're no longer in each other's experience because we don't give each other peace, I've achieved the goal. But notice that none of the things that I said were based on the other person changing. There wasn't one thing that I said that had anything to do with my mother changing. I said either I changed my perception, or and in changing that my perception, something naturally happened in our relationship that it looked like they changed, or it looks like we're not in a relationship in physical proximity of each other. But none of my solutions was based on I'm studying the course, so therefore my mother has to change. And that's the thing that happens also a lot, is people come to a class or they'll study this stuff, and then they'll go back to work, and they'll say, it didn't work because my boss is still the same little butthole that he was before I came to the class. And you got, well, your boss isn't taking the course. You are taking the course. So it's you that's supposed to apply what you are learning to your boss. It isn't your boss is taking the course. And then people get disgusted because they think, well, I'm studying this book and I'm still broke. Well, you know, you haven't changed your perception of money. You haven't changed your perception of abundance. And that's why you don't have peace. And then the course says so many times that it's only through peace that you have the condition in which the memory of God happens, or the memory of love. First you have to get peace, then you can hear your guidance. So the course is about peace. That's what it's for. It's for people who want peace of mind so that they can hear the voice for God. It's not really a book about what? How to get the lover you always wanted, how to get the job you always wanted, how to lose 10 pounds, how to get the house. It's not about that. And so people who come with that in mind always get disillusioned. Even though my experience is that, funny thing that happens when you harmonize within yourself, seems like all the rest of that stuff is kind of added anyway. Again, yeah, just like it takes, before you know it, you are in a better place and you are in a better situation or whatever. So I like this. This is the easy way. The next paragraph is a great one, too. It says, whenever any form of special relationship tempts you to seek for love in a ritual, remember that love is content, not form. That's what I meant when I said that earlier about the behavior. You know, it's where you're coming from in your heart that's going to determine everything, not the behavior. You know, a surgeon cuts somebody with a knife, we don't put him in jail because the content was peace. He was doing that to save a life. So a murderer does it, and then we want to put him in jail. In both cases, somebody cuts somebody. So the course is telling us it's not the form level, it's the content level. And he says the special relationship is a ritual of form aimed at raising the form to take the place of God. At the place of content, there is no meaning in the form. There never will be. The special relationship is a ritual. To me, a ritual is where two people do something over and over again where there's no love in it. Like there are many people who are celebrating wedding anniversaries that haven't spoke to each other in 10 years. But they're celebrating the fact that their bodies stayed together in the ritual of living in a house and eating dinner for 20 years. The love is not a ritual. It's not love, it's a ritual. You know, or people who stay in a relationship long past the point that there's any love or joy in it. Again, that's the same thing. You know, the generation of my parents and before that, they were the generation that they stayed married no matter what. You could have absolutely nothing going on between you, but you stayed married. That's, to me, that's a perfect example of a ritual of form. And now people are complaining about divorce rates, but what you really are having is that people who are choosing not to stay in relationships that they're not experiencing fulfillment and joy in. So in a sense, these people who are after they've done the best they can, these people to me are choosing more for love than the ones who stay in a relationship that there's no love in, just for the sake of keeping the bodies together. So if you stick it out and choose to practice love, that's great. But you also don't condemn people who choose out of situations that's not painful to them and choose for something else either. You know, I don't admire people who've been together for a long, long time and I feel no love between them, and I see no love and I see no recognition. That's not something that, me personally, I don't admire it.
Well, and the same thing with the divorce thing. You get people who are doing that authentically, and you also get people just the serial special relationship thing, right?
Yeah.
You have this one to go to the next.
Yeah.
Get out of it.
Yeah.
So that's not holy either. Yeah.
No, I'm saying that whatever a person chooses to do, if the choice that they're making is, I don't want to. See, my thing is, I don't want to judge either one of them.
Right.
That's my point, is that I don't want to do it. In the end, the same thing. It's like, what are you doing this for? Like you said, are you getting divorced because you know that it doesn't represent love and you try as much as you can and you're willing to take responsibility and you think you deserve to have more love in your life? Or like you said, am I just looking for another person to complete me, look for another person to complete me, look for another person to complete me, and look for another person to complete me? Then, like you said, then that's the same thing as being in the same relationship with somebody for 30 years that there's no love in either. You know, there's no difference.
In that first scenario, isn't that still, though, you're wanting something from them? You're needing something from them.
In which scenario?
In the first scenario where you just are in a relationship that you can't get love from them, but isn't the whole idea with the course is that you don't need that. You simply can love and forgive by seeing past that, not looking to get anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a difference between two complete people joining because they want to share their completeness together, and two people getting together because they need the other one to complete the other. Or in most cases, really trying to use the other one to hide the way they feel about themselves. That's the most popular. That's what I see it as. It's like I'm temporarily getting a sense of value from you so that I really am not in touch with the fact that I haven't gotten in touch with my own completeness within myself, because I'm temporarily getting my value from the way you're treating me. So that's where I feel like most relationships are formed. I feel like most relationships are hiding places. You know, I am using you to make me feel good. I'm using you to make me feel valuable. That's not the same as I'm whole and complete, joining with somebody else whole and complete, and then we extend that wholeness and completeness to others. You know, which the Course defines at the beginning of chapter 22 in the section called the Salvation and the Holy Relationship. He discusses those two relationships, the two where people, he calls it coming together to steal from each other and stay just as long as you can steal as much as you can, and when there's nothing else to steal, you leave. And then he describes the other one as two whole people coming together to share their completion and then to keep extending their completion. Those are the two that we're looking for. You know, what I like about myself is that I'm okay. I'm okay if I'm not in a relationship. And I am also okay if I'm in a relationship, because now I know how to treat a person that I'm in a relationship with. So relationships are not hard for me, because they're only hard when you're trying to use them to get. That's the only reason why anybody's having a relationship problem, is that they somehow or another still tying their happiness to that other person. So it's not difficult. Then you start attracting these other people who want the same thing you do, then it still stays easy, because like attracts like.
And then when you don't get what you want from them,
then I project an attack and blame them that I'm unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And if only they would behave a certain way, then I would get what I needed.
Exactly.
And I'd be happy.
Right.
See, I had this with my mother yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It was so funny talking about your mother. That's so funny.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly it. It's like I didn't get something that mm-hmm. I needed from my conversation mm-hmm. with her.
Mm-hmm.
Felt rejected and unloved.
Right. Right.
You know, so
right.
There was definitely a special piece there with it of wanting something from her to feel of value, to feel good.
There you go. There you go.
It's there.
Right. And he says in the section right before this that what you're supposed to do instead of seeking love, he says, what you're supposed to do is seek and find within yourself all the blocks within yourself. Within you. Right.
Yeah.
So what she made you aware of was what you needed to let go of within yourself. And you will. See, to me, when somebody says what you just said to me, like you ran down the game, no one who really sees the game clearly is going to continue to do it permanently. There's no way you recognize what you're doing to yourself. There's no way you can clearly recognize what you're doing to yourself and can keep doing it. If you clearly recognize. Now, the habit may still be there. And you still may do it for a while. You still may, but you're going to, but eventually it's going to die down.
And I had my tears and I had all my whatever mm-hmm. something going.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look at her to go, you know, that she was innocent.
That's right.
Because otherwise I was projecting guilt onto her,
mm-hmm.
my own unconscious.
There you go.
I'd go, well, you're innocent, Mom. You know?
Yeah.
And then go, well, my own issues about being a mother and, you know, at times where I feel guilty also. I just, you know, trying to see the innocence in her and in myself.
And then what happens
and
to
then, And then there was a part where my ego thought, forget it, I don't want to. I could hear it.
Yeah, And to me, waking up is your ability to hear that voice of your ego, but not act on it.
Yeah.
You know, he calls it staying above the battleground. He says, you know, you hear what your ego says, but you're at the point now that you won't let it direct your actions.
Yeah.
You know, like I tell people, I have the ego just like everybody else does. The only difference is now I don't let it direct my actions as much as I used to. You know, you can hit my sacred cow, and before I know it, I can react to whatever that is. Because a lot of times you don't know what they are till they get hit. You know, but I know that a lot of my sacred cows are not my sacred cows anymore because I find myself being in situations that I used to react to that I just don't react to anymore. They just don't get me going. So that's what I'm saying with you.
Yeah.
If you keep that attitude and you keep that realization, you'll find yourself surely sitting up in front of your mother and she'll be doing whatever she does and you'll walk away and you realize, you know, wow, I didn't get triggered. You know, sometimes it's not the afterwards that you realize, wait a minute, I didn't respond, you know.
Yeah.
So it thrills me to be around people who talk the way you talk. Mm-hmm. It totally does. It thrills me to be around people that are talking the way you are. Because even if we still have our ego, the fact that we're talking this way means we are learning to go beyond it. Because this is the way people talk who are learning to go beyond their ego. They can peg it. They say, yep, you're right. I was with my, I was waiting for her. So you weren't in denial about that. You weren't pretending that you didn't go through that process.
No, I ended the phone call saying, I need to talk to somebody because I thought otherwise this could get into something.
That's smart.
You know?
That is so smart.
So I can tell how she lays.
That's so smart.
You know, so I can feel. Oh,
yeah, I love it. I love it. Because Jesus talks about that in the Course, how he calls it the temptation to attack. He says, so you feel a twinge.
Yeah.
You know, and he calls it. You know, and you do. It's like I'm the same way now. It's like that was happening the other day. I was talking to my daughter, and I felt it. I call it the temptation to attack. You know, the TTA. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I got the TTA going. I can feel it. And the minute I feel it coming up in me, then it's always my clue to go into silence, or don't attack. You know, either one. Now, where it used to be the trigger that would make me want to attack,
mm-hmm.
now when I feel those feelings, it's just the opposite. It'll make me go, you know, you feel it. Even if this is something you do need to say, wait until you're not feeling the temptation to attack. It's not saying you can't share. It's saying you don't want to share from this temptation to attack because what people are reacting to, the Course says that what's being reacted to is the energy behind the words and not the words. So because we all telepathically in communication with each other. So people are always reacting to what's going on behind what you're saying more so than what you're saying. So I could probably say the same thing I needed to say, but if I was coming from peace, she could hear it. But if I was coming from attack, there's a good chance she wasn't going to hear it. So I'm proud of myself when I can do that, because when I first got into the course, my biggest ego thing was a temper. I had like a really, really angry attack temper. So I needed anger management. And so course was like the best thing in the world for getting me past that through, but not through repression, but through recognition of being the Son of God. That's to me, that's the ultimate answer, is realizing that I'm an extension of the love that created all things. You know. So cool. This section has so many cool things in it. It's so amazing. I love this. Then it goes to, let's go to the top of page 2344, because to me this next half, I'm gonna try to just hit touch on the main points of this, because this is so rich. But he says, okay, then the course always tells you what your ego is trying to do, or what you're trying to do. And I always tell people, it's like it drags you through the mud and then washes you clean. It's like this is what your ego does. It tries to get, it tries to take, it tries to manipulate, da 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 da. And it tries to replace God. You're trying to replace God with all your rituals and all your idols. Then it comes and says, and guess what? God isn't angry. And it says, love that couldn't let this happen. You can't change God's mind. So no matter what you think you've done, rather than feel guilty about the way you do relationships, understand that your Creator still loves you, and that there is nothing you can do that's going to kill who you are or really keep you from having the love of God. So I love that. It's like, I know you think you're doing all this stuff, so I want you to just see the special relationship as nothing but your attempt to raise some God before God. It's just your attempt to give yourself the specialness that God has in giving you. He says, salvation lies in the simple fact that illusions are not fearful because they're not true. They seem to be fearful to the extent to which you fail to recognize them for what they are. So things make me afraid only to the extent that I am refusing to see them for what they really are. Like, I'm upset at my mother because I'm not willing to see my mother as what she really is. A child of God and a call for love. See, and it says, and I'll fail to see her as a call for love, what? To the extent that I want what I believe about my mother to be true. You know, if I want to see her as a problem, then I will not see her as a call for love, because I want the illusion about her to be truer than I want the truth about her to be true. He says, and to the same extent that you are not seeing it as what it is, he says, you are denying the truth. So the truth is, the only thing that's happening in the world today is either love or a call for love or a call for help. That's all you see on the news. That's all you see on TV. That's all you're going through with your friends or your relatives. No matter what they're going through, you're looking at a call for love.
Or our own. See, I'm not always seeing it as theirs, but I'm also seeing it as mine, that it's my call for love.
Well, that's what never,
that's what
yeah.
Can't you see that that's what I'm doing here?
They would have to be also taking themselves through the same transformation of their mind that you're doing, though. You see what I mean? They don't see your call for love because you learn to see it as a call for love. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to learn to see it as a call for love. But the only thing you're responsible for is applying the truth to yourself. And that's what I love about it. Like the book said, I was so glad after 10 years that I finally let myself hear that. Because I used to be obsessed with other people applying the truth. Even when I got to the truth, I did the same kind of projection, only I did it with the truth. Now all of a sudden, everybody around me had to see things the way I was seeing it still. So I was really doing the same thing again. It's like, at first everybody had to see it my way in terms of me being right about whatever that was. Now I get into the truth, and now everybody's got to see it the way I see it, as far as really seeing it as a call for love, or really seeing it as the truth, or really taking responsibility in the spirit. Like, no. Now, you are supposed to apply this to your perception, and only your perception. If you try to do it any other way, you're going to get frustrated out of your gourd. You know, when I walk into a room, I'm the one that's supposed to see it as a call for love. Maybe some people will, maybe some people won't. But what I noticed was that when I applied it to myself, that's when the change happened. So isn't that easier? I mean, when you really think about it, that's really easier. Suppose I wanted my daughter to see it as a call for love, and then I was going to get upset until she saw whatever I was doing as a call for love. There's no telling when that might happen. But I could certainly go, this is my call for love.
That's what I'm
because,
saying.
Right, yeah.
Most time it's me. Most time it's me going, oh, this is me calling out for love.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Because most people don't do that, though. My experience is that most students don't do that. They don't say it's their call for love. They're very deep working on seeing it as somebody else is being their call for love, which is good. Now, don't get me wrong. That's important. But they tend to leave themselves out. In other words, I'll see what you are doing as a call for love, but if I lose my temper, I'll beat myself up and say, you know, I've been on this path so long, I shouldn't be getting mad because I'm on a spiritual path. So that's you not seeing yours as a call for love.
That's what's so brilliant about this course is it reminds us that every single thing we see is our projection.
That's right.
How would I know it if I didn't project it?
That's right.
So everything I see, even if it is their call for love, like you're saying, it's mine as well.
It's mine as
and
well.
The brilliance, because the whole key is in the forgiveness of others. Because it's so much harder for me to turn around and just forgive myself. But it's easier for me to look at another person and apply it. And in so doing, I did just heal myself.
And it goes, and to add to what you just said, he literally says it in the book, that your mind will automatically apply to itself what it applies to other people.
It
happens instantly. It's going to do it automatically. I can't say, this is a call for love, this is a call for love, yours is a call for love, without at some point my mind going, well, if I feel like that, that must be my call for love. That's the beauty of it. Like it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant system that just blows my mind. And then the next, in paragraph 15, let's see the main point of that one. He says, oh yeah, the last sentence. I love it. He says, the separation is what? Only the decision not to know yourself. Like if I want to keep believing in my separation, I'm really making the decision not to know myself because you all are myself. We are one. So if I still keep going for the separation, I'm really making a decision not to know myself because we are one. And then it says at the very end, I love this one too. Check this line. It says, this whole thought system is what? A carefully contrived learning experience designed to lead away from the truth. Like the Course says, you know, what we've learned is a way of thinking that was actually designed by our ego to lead us away from oneness. And this thing is set up to make all of us think two things. We're separate from each other and then we're bodies. It's you know, if you look at the TV commercials, you'll see what I mean. You're a body. You're a body. You are a body. You are a body. You are a body. You are a body. You're a body. You're a body.
Is we're running. That's why the multiple splits we ran, and well, we is one.
Mm-hmm.
Ran, and that's yeah. And the ego is our fear,
yeah.
And therefore the system, the fear system, thought of thinking ego. It's all one big. Hiding under a rock.
Yeah.
That we designed.
Yeah, yeah. I call the body my getaway car. You know, it's what I use to give me the illusion that I can get away from myself. Because I can just take my body and I can leave y'all. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is set up to make us forget that we're joined.
We're so afraid of what we think the truth might be because
okay, and that's why it leads back to what he was saying earlier about, he said, so fearful has the truth become to you that unless it's weak and little, right. We got to make the truth weak and little to maintain the illusion. I love that. And then, now here's the good news. It says, for every learning that would hurt you, in the last sentence in paragraph 15, it says, for every learning that would hurt you, God offers you correction, and here's my favorite part, complete escape from all its consequences. That love offers us the complete escape from all the consequences of everything that we've learned that would hurt us. And that's what we need to remember. That no matter what you've learned, that through God, you can escape any of the consequences from the fear thought system. Any consequences of what we've learned in separation. The ego goes, but how? That's not even our business. That's not the how is not our business. He says it over and over again. It's the purpose is our business. It's setting the goal that's our business. But how it's going to happen is not our business. And then the next paragraph says what? The decision of whether or not to listen to this course is just a choice between am I going to listen to the truth or am I going to listen to the false? He says, because this is the truth separated from the false. This is the truth not confused with the ego or the false at all. He says, this choice becomes simple when you see the choice as what it is. Because fantasies, which he describes as what? Illusions, false ideas, and fear. He said, that's what makes confusion and choosing possible. But our fantasies, our fears, our illusions, all these are synonyms in the Course. He said, they are totally unreal. So this year is what? The time to do what? Funny that it says make the easiest decision that ever confronted you and the only decision that ever confronted you. He says, we're going to go over to the other side because we'll recognize that love is on the other side away from fear. And that there's nothing on... See, when I began to really get that as long as I stayed in the fear thought system, I was always going to be disappointed. I was always going to be afraid. I was always going to lose. That's when I really, really, really wanted to make the decision. Because I recognized there's nothing... To me, the way we do relationships don't tempt me anymore. I was so glad when that started to happen to me that no matter what somebody looked like, their consciousness became more important to me than their body. And I remember when it was just the opposite, where my attraction to the person was more important than the way that person thought, or whether or not we had communication, or whether or not we shared the same perspective. And those were always the relationships that there was always processing, conflict, and the whole fear game. And now it's flipped, where the content of a person or their purpose or their mind, where they're coming from in their heart, is much more important to me than their body. And so consequently, the new relationships are 1,000 times more peaceful than the old ones ever were. And that's what he's saying. It's impossible not to make the natural decision once you realize there's nothing on the side of fear. You know. And so tomorrow night, in Thursday class, I'm going to go into the bridge to the real world. This section, if you don't read it with me in the class and we don't go through it together, please read it on your own, because this section describes beautifully what you go through in the transition from the old way of looking at things to the new way of looking at things. He goes into details about how you're going to be affected, how you're going to feel, and it's such a powerful section. I'm looking really forward to talking about this one tomorrow night and going over it together with everybody. Okay, so I'm going to stop here. I would like to give people tips. It's like, if you approach the course as if you're trying making the goal of never getting angry, which isn't the same as saying, I want peace, then you're going to be in conflict with yourself, because readiness is a mastery. So if you say, I really want to be more peaceful and a loving person, and then you constantly beat yourself up every time you're angry and upset, then you're actually reinforcing your ego. The way that you do not reinforce your ego is to have tolerance for it. He says tolerance of your weakness keeps your weakness from having any power, which I thought was an interesting statement, but I saw the truth of that. If I can be okay with Earl getting mad on the way to getting to the point that I want peace all the time, then I won't use my anger to block me because I'm stopping to beat myself up for getting mad. Where if I go, you know, that's just what it is right now. Right? That's my call for love. And move on, then it won't stop me. But if I go, I've been studying this book for so and so. I stopped telling people when I was upset, especially a lot of times people that I taught in my class, because they would invariably say this to me every time. They would say something like, I can't believe that you still get mad. Or what was the other one? Girl, I can't believe you really get mad. And there's one more really good one.
Fearful?
It was, I can't believe you get mad. So therefore, oh yeah, If you've been studying this as long as you have, and you still get mad, what hope is there for me? So they would use it as an excuse not to continue their own focus, because they'd say, "Well, if you've been doing this," and I always say, "Uh-uh, it's not about me never getting angry. It's about how do I perceive it now." That's what the course is about. It's about, yeah, it's about me choosing for peace and me not beating myself up and me realizing that there's another way to look at it. And it's all relative. You don't know where I was 25 years ago.
And you still have a body, so you know.
And that's the other thing. And that's the other thing I always tell people. As long as you see me, I'm still learning just like you are. You know, as long as you can see, and if I can see you, you are too. You know, so we're all equal, you know, but that doesn't mean that I can't be used to be helpful, no more than it means you can't be used to be helpful either. You know, and that's why I try to give people all these tips, because literally in all these years I've had a chance to see and meet and communicate with so many Course in Miracles students. And so if I can bring any of that into this room in order to save a person time that's just getting started, the Course says that's the purpose of a relationship. He says that the purpose of a relationship is to save time. That if you're going to form a relationship, it should be saving you time. But haven't you noticed that most people at first will use relationships to slow themselves down? They'll be actually moving pretty fast, and then they'll join with somebody, and then they're spending all their time dealing with their issues. And so they actually use the relationship to delay themselves instead of using the relationship to speed themselves along. And so the Course is not trying to take special relationships from us. It says it's trying to remove as much fear and conflict from them as we will allow the Holy Spirit to do. So we can have our one-on-one relationships, but it's saying, my God, the purpose of them is to experience happiness, not any other reason. It's like he says at the beginning of chapter 17, the purpose of a relationship is to make happy, and that's all. It's not there to fix you, take care of you, give you security, make you feel special, any of the things we come up with. In reality, they're for love. And that just made me feel so good. Because that's the way I felt anyway.
It's to help you see your unconscious beliefs too, right? Opportunity to, out there so you can see if you can heal it.
Yeah. That's also, that's also the way, to me, that's the way I should use the ones that I'm in that I don't like. You know what I'm saying? It's like okay, if I'm in a relationship with you, I want to learn something. But the idea of using my relationships just to see my unconscious mind doesn't excite me as much as being in a relationship with you for us to share love together. You see what I mean? So it's like, if I'm with, because sometimes when I would say this stuff about me being in a relationship to heal, if I didn't hear that correctly, I find myself in a relationship with either where we were trying to fix each other in some way, or we were constantly saying stuff like, well, that's just your projection. What you're seeing in me is just in yourself. You know, that kind of stuff. So I had to personally get clear that, no, I'm in this relationship for joy. You know, now whatever's keeping me from having joy, that is me looking at my unconscious stuff that I need to take a look at in order to be here. But Earl, the real purpose is to share joy. You know, it should be some joy. Mm-hmm. Hat coming down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, but if it's not joy, then I'm seeing something that I need to have heal. So I should see it as a way to heal, like joy is saying. And by the way, Joy does a Course in Miracles group on Tuesday at the Rocky Mountain Miracle. No idea I had gone over that much. And y'all were so patient sitting up here. I'm serious. Oh wow. Wow, that was trippy, because the last time I looked at my watch, it was 12:45. I had no idea. Time is an illusion, and it sure proved it did. Let me let y'all go take care of business. Yeah, that's right.
When you get to where time just doesn't even exist, because your state of mind is in such peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Because only reason why you need time is time is to change and to learn. But the once you become who you are, what you need time for? You are it. And that's where you're going to always be. So that's cool. Yeah, so anyway, thank you for coming, you all. I'm sorry I did that. You know. Sunday 1, too.